Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister for another spoiler-filled discussion on Torchwood. This is a third series. It was Children of Earth. Mm-hmm. This, for me, was, I think, a turning point for the series in a couple of respects. Most notably, going from a fairly episodic format to a very serial story.
To me, this was a five-part miniseries.
Absolutely. This was one that the BBC didn't do an increase in the license fee that was requested for Torchwood, Doctor Who, or Sarah Jane Adventures. So they faced some budget cuts.
Okay.
And basically, part of the agreement Russell T. Davies worked with the BBC was that this would get shown on BBC One, the main BBC channel, but it would be every weeknight for 1 week. Okay? So it went from a 13-episode series to just five. I believe John Barrowman is quoted as having felt like this was like punishment from the BBC.
Really?
So I don't think he was happy. But also going from 13 episodes down to five, I mean, that's a major cut.
Yeah.
And at which point doing the shift from episodic to serial makes sense. But there were also a couple of rewrites that had to happen for a number of reasons. Because at the end of Journey's End on Doctor Who, we'd gotten all the companions and stuff, and it had kind of set up Freema Agarwal character of Martha Jones and Noel Clarke's character of Mickey to potentially move over to Torchwood.
Yeah.
And that was indeed the plan, but there were some scheduling issues.
Ah, that explains the honeymoon comment.
Yes, because what had happened is Hagimon had been cast on Law & Order UK before Children of Earth got officially commissioned. It's like they're talking, but here's a 13-episode series she could be in, or here's a 5-episode.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, she had already committed to the 13 on Law & Order, so it's like, can't blame her for that. She was still open to showing up later, but it's like, if you're not going to have her, having Mickey, I guess, didn't make sense.
That's unfortunate, because I think the entire show would have been different with Mickey, or her, or both, as part of UNIT.
Absolutely, and I think, from what I was reading, the character of Lois was kind of written in as the Martha replacement, but as an earlier, kind of younger, more naive version.
Yeah. She,
more innocent.
Yeah. She had definite Martha characteristics, but she was in, I can't think of the character name's office in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm. So there was that aspect. It was kind of a change, and I think it was left to where, if they were to do more Torchwood, they could bring those other characters back in. It's not like they're written out and killed off.
No, they were just on their honeymoon. Lois was my favorite character that was new in this.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that was kind of interesting was when they were apparently negotiating the deals with the actors and such, that the one who plays Yanto kind of surmised he might be getting killed off. When his agent told him he was needed for 4 of the 5 episodes.
Poor guy.
And of course, the previous season, they've killed off a couple. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So this takes place on 5 consecutive days. And the basic premise of the story is an alien race who'd been to Earth before in the 60s comes back and says, yeah, give us 10% of your kids. Mm. Now, in the 60s, they only asked for 10 kids.
12.
Okay, 12. A handful.
Yeah.
A number of kids, not a percentage of kids.
Yeah, well, and one of the kids got away.
Okay.
Which was useful and interesting.
And the Brits apparently back then gave him the kids. Just kind of...
It'll keep it quiet. And they went to Captain Jack mm-hmm. at Torchwood to be the delivery man. And he asked, why me? And it was, you're so detached and so remote from all people. And we need someone who won't care that they may be sending innocent children to the slaughter. So we need you to find 12 kids that nobody will miss and hand them over to unknown aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because they convinced him it was for the protection of Earth. It was for the greater good. And he could tell himself that he didn't need to think about those dozen kids because he was protecting Earth. As long as he focused on that, he could not think about.
He could sleep at night, essentially.
The 12. Yeah. You know, because you can put the billion before the 12.
Yeah, it's...
It was hard, and I don't think that people understood. It's not that he doesn't care. It's that he could prioritize. But he also seemed to tell them at the time, I'm not convinced you're doing the right thing. But if these are my marching orders, I'll take them.
Yeah, but I think you could convince a lot of people that if one person dies so everyone else can live, that that's not ideal, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And at which point it starts to become a little bit of a really bizarre numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if one's an acceptable loss, how about two? How about three? I mean, where do you draw the line? It's
yeah.
I mean, and a lot of people, when asked that question, I think would go to, well, no loss is acceptable. And philosophically, I mean, I completely agree with that. But there's also a pragmatic aspect.
Well, and it's interesting to me in terms of what we've seen of Captain Jack. He knows odds are strongly in favor of he just can't die. He's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Nothing has succeeded in kicking that.
Yeah.
That curse, if you will. So he will die to save others. Not because he doesn't value his own life. Not because he assumes he'll come back. But because he knows he can die to save others.
Well, and the self-sacrificing aspect, it's... If you, again, you were to ask, one person had to die for others to live, I think most... I would hope most people would be more willing to sacrifice themselves than some unnamed or specific other person.
Yeah. And when he was asked to find 12 kids, he went and found a home of orphans that had no living relatives and said, you know, you're being moved to another home. It wasn't that he went to one family that had 12 kids.
Yeah.
And said, hey, I need your kids. You know what I mean? He found kids where he hoped the impact on others would be minimal.
Mm-hmm. He tried to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But it also gives the past sins aspect to the series.
Yeah. Well, and it also shows Captain Jack has changed a lot since we first met him.
Because
when we very first met him, I didn't believe that he would die for another person. He was usually the first person out the door, and then he'd try and make sure everybody else got out also.
It took a while with hanging with the doctor for his good side to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really feel Captain Jack has improved since we first met him.
Mm-hmm.
And has become a much better person and character.
Well, I think he improved for a bit hanging with the Eccleston doctor. Goes back in time, kind of goes through a really rough patch.
He's abandoned.
And gets... Again, cold, callous, a little heartless. But then it takes a little bit, particularly when Gwen gets joined into the Torchwood and he re-encounters the Doctor.
He's abandoned.
That kind of resets his moral compass.
Well, he goes through 90 to 100 years of he's abandoned, he's cursed, he's rejected time and again. Because he can't find anyone he can spend his life with.
Mm-hmm.
And between being reunited with the Doctor... And finding Gwen, who can connect with him.
Empathizes with him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He went through a long period where people saw him as something they could use, but not really as a person to interact with.
Yeah.
And I think over the course of the seasons of Torchwood, we definitely see him getting more on the kind of the right path, if you will.
One of the things that... played out over the course of this that I really loved was Gwen's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
From the someone else can tell she's pregnant and tells her, and she's in denial. That can't be true. And what do you mean I'm 3 weeks pregnant? And she goes back to the hub, puts her hand on a magic scanner thing, and it comes up with she's pregnant. And Yanto and Jack come in, needing her to do work, and they see up on the monitor she's pregnant. And it's, wow, Reese must be so excited. Yeah, he hasn't heard yet. I'm just finding out. And right then and there, Captain Jack goes, oh, Reese, not going to be happy you told us before you told him. I didn't tell you.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what I enjoy about the show is the interpersonal dynamics.
Yes.
Is a lot of fun because they can get away with things like that that wouldn't fit or feel right on Doctor Who.
Well, and when Captain Jack comes over, because she's nervous about how can I have this job? How can I do the things we do and be pregnant and mm-hmm. become a mother? And he puts his hand on her hand that's on the scanner to say, we, as the Torchwood family, we're going to get you through this. You're going to be okay. And the scanner picks him up and discovers he happens to have a bomb in the equivalent of his womb.
Whoops.
Yes. And she's like, we need to fix that. He says, no, we're getting you two out of here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, that's how much he's changed and become attached to this team of Torchwood.
Yeah.
He goes through quite a bit, though, this season, even though it's only 5 episodes.
Yes, he does.
The bomb in the stomach.
Yes.
That bomb winds up. I think they get it out of the stomach before it blows up. No. Still in? All right.
Yes. And one of the things I found fascinating was this branch of the government that killed him again repeatedly as they put the bomb in. You know, keep him dead long enough to get it in there, sew him up, then put him down on the floor with another dead body so he'll think he only got killed. Send him home. Okay. That group, the reason they've done all this is they think if he goes back to the hub and he blows up there and blows up the hub at the rift, that will kill what has been making him come back to life because they think he's somehow connected to the rift.
Which is a reasonable theory. Wrong, but reasonable.
Well, I had been wondering if his being in the ground in Cardiff for the not quite 2,000 years and constantly coming back to life had kind of helped create or widen the rift.
Certainly a viable theory as well.
So, you know, but yeah, he forces Yanto out one door. He forces Gwen before that another door. And he keeps telling them, you know, I'm hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
I should come back. And the government people find an arm, a shoulder, and his head. And it takes most of an episode for his body bag to fill out.
Do they put all of that into the same body bag? It's been long enough since I watched
it. It was all one piece. The shoulder, okay. Arm, and head was all one piece, and that went in the body bag. But nothing else was found.
I was going to say, because if they were separate pieces, that would be
And in fact, they gross. Didn't seem to find anything from the cryo storage or the vault, which to me just felt like a little bit of a hole.
Yeah.
But then the body bag started kind of worming around.
I kind of recall that. There was some. They at least tried to get some of it on camera, but out of sight.
Yes.
I give them credit for that.
Yanto had gotten the license plate number off the truck that took him there. He had managed to discreetly meet up with his sister and get her computer in her car. So he found where the truck was, and he arrived in time to see 2 cement trucks show up and be pouring cement into the top of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has his look on his face as he's going for the binoculars. If I have a nagging feeling, I know what that's about.
Yeah. Getting encased in cement. Is this, it's not bad enough to have spent a little bit of last season spending 1,000 or 2 years buried underground.
Yeah.
Rough time for Captain Jack.
Well, they did wait until Captain Jack, you know, was awake and talking and back to himself before they cemented him. So he was in good shape to be cemented. That's all I'm saying.
Well, frankly, from a purely tactics point of view, that's the wrong plan. You want to put him in the cement before he's fully regrown.
Yeah.
But
if you're the enemy, definitely.
If you're the enemy, exactly. Yes. If you're a friend, obviously not.
Now, before the bombing, they had decided, because they'd realized something's going on with the kids. We need a kid to talk to. So Jack and Yanto had just kind of parted ways with, we need a kid to talk to. And this is when we find out Yanto has a niece and nephew.
Mm-hmm.
So he happens to want to take the niece to a movie. And boy, that did not go over well with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you want to take my daughter out is on the day the world seems to be ending? I don't think so.
Yeah.
She is staying under my roof.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can see her. I liked his sister. She wore 2 lines on the relationship with Captain Jack. I could have done without, but overall, I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain Jack went and knocked on somebody's door. And she had a son. And that turned out to be his daughter. and the daughter refused to have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. There is the question of what happened to Captain Jack over that century or so. Mm-hmm. And was this just the closest relative? The only relative? Yeah. I mean, how much else is out there?
Yeah. Well, this is a daughter who seems to have been born in the 70s after this happened. And at one point, he makes a comment of what he did in 65, he did before he even realized he could have a kid that could happen to.
Mm.
You know, so for those who ask, you know, if you had to do over again, would you do it differently? He'd like to be able to say, I'd find a different solution.
Well, if he knew then what he knows now.
Mm-hmm.
But if the then of him had to do it over again, he would have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, a lot of people don't get painted in a pretty good light in this, particularly some of the British government officials.
When the British government officials sit down to have a meeting and it's, we have to turn over 10% of our children, and they start with, can we agree none of the children of the people at this table will get turned over?
Yeah, that's a little self-serving. It's understandable, but...
Now, by this point, through the whole contortion of events, Lois Habib, who works in the office of one of those people, is wearing Torchwood contacts.
Mm-hmm.
She's recording and getting audio on, or lip reading, really, of everything that's happening, which comes to haunt people later.
Yes.
You thought you were doing this in secret meetings nobody would know about. But it really goes downhill from there, where one of the politicians says, well, if we're saying that we can say our kids are better than other people's kids, then instead of doing a random lottery, since we've just removed our own kids from the random lottery, then we have these tests we give all the students in all the schools, and we know who the top 10% of the students are, which means we also know who the bottom 10% are.
Yeah, it becomes almost a bizarre meritocracy in some sense.
Yeah.
Where the less desirables,
yeah,
in this case by intelligence, but it could have just as easily been, you know, socioeconomic status.
Yeah, well, she flat out says, we can predict who will end up homeless and who will end up in jail, and we have all these statistics. So for once in our lives, let's use it to our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, talk about social commentary.
Well, and there's a certain, from a heartless, soulless point of view, pragmatism to that.
Yeah.
They're going to be a drain on society. We have a way to get rid of certain people. So, I mean, mm-hmm, I get that, but it's so wrong on such a fundamental level.
Yeah. Yeah.
The minute you start valuing certain people's lives over other people's lives based on what they may become, what they may do, what sort of person you think they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand prioritizing certain individuals over others in terms of, you know, we've watched other shows where it's a post-apocalyptic, you know, so having the people who are the engineers and can rebuild the electrical grid, the doctors that can save lives. There are certain times where certain individuals actually have a greater benefit to society over others because of kind of the force multiplier aspect they can be.
Yeah.
But those things are such fictional exception cases.
Well, and when you're looking at elementary schools,
yeah,
it just feels impossible to genuinely predict the future.
Yeah, and even if you could do so accurately, then your focus should be on how to equalize and make everybody's lives better than to just cut your losses.
Yeah.
So the commentary on some of that, and again, some of the politicians did not come out as particularly good people.
Yeah. Now, for a long time, I'm not sure I ever was totally clear on the job position of Pierre Capaldi's character.
Yes, it's worth pointing out that one of the people in here was played by Peter Capaldi, who, of course, later became the Doctor. And he was also in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, he did a great job here. But if I had to give any feedback to the people who wrote the scripts, I felt that a lot of stuff about why that character was doing what he was doing and a lot of things that would have made him as a character make more sense to me got left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, he seemed to be doing certain things just because he was a politician, not because of...
I couldn't tell if he was trying to make his mark on history, if he was trying to elevate himself from middleman position to powerful position. If he was only trying to cover up what he felt was a mistake from 1965, except now here he is repeating the actions of 1965. I couldn't tell if he was in on it with the 456 aliens, since he seemed so willing to just give them what they want and they'll go away.
I recall when I watched it, because this all aired back in 2009, so it's been a while for me, that he seemed to be opportunistic, not either in on it or evil.
He wouldn't,
but certainly misguided.
He wouldn't work with UNIT. He wouldn't work with the United Nations. He was very happy when the Prime Minister wanted nothing to do with it. He was the one who ordered Captain Jack and four or five other people to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people turned out to be the people who had worked with him in 65 with these aliens.
Mm-hmm. There was a certain amount of covering up past mistakes lest it get out. But I think that all goes back to opportunistic and misguided, as much in the 60s as today kind of a thing. He seemed to be somebody that...
He didn't trust Captain Jack at all.
He had too much to lose and didn't want to lose it.
Yeah.
His entire life could have been destroyed and arguably should have been. I mean, Peter Capaldi did a great job in this.
His final few scenes were just so powerful. You know, when he's told at the end that he has done such a great job selecting the children and convincing the public that there's going to be an inoculation program so that kids will stop randomly saying these strange words in unison. And it has been decided that he should go on television to show his support for this inoculation program by delivering his two children to one of the buses to go be inoculated.
Yeah. Imagine doing that to somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah, we've decided our kids are okay. You've been doing such a great job. We're gonna reward you by killing off your kids and having you do it on live TV.
Yeah. I mean, I know you were at the table when we all said nobody at this table has to worry about their kids.
Well, you were in the room. You weren't at the table.
Well, he was at the table.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
He was the one who was assigned to pick all the kids because he was the face of the project and had all the information. You know, but that was the problem. He was the face.
His title was Home Office Permanent Secretary, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things that...
If he had trusted Captain Jack, his kids would have been safe. If he had trusted Captain Jack, he and his kids would have survived the miniseries.
Yeah, but instead he goes and tries to kill Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Encases him in cement. Not very nice.
No, no.
As I recall, the way they got him out of the cement was basically pushing it off a cliff, having it break.
Yanto stole a forklift, basically, and stole the entire cell out of the building. And Gwen, her husband, happened to have broken in at about that same time, thinking that they were just going to steal a corpse, or what people thought was a corpse. They go to open the cell door, and it's like, it's solid cement.
Yeah.
What do we do? And right then, the cement just kind of gets jerked out.
Mm-hmm.
So they go running out, climb onto the side of the forklift thing, and he goes driving down this big old road. They stop long enough for Reese to move a big truck into the way, and Gwen's saying, come on, run faster. And he's like, I've blocked the way. What's the problem? Right as he gets close enough to her, she fires at the truck, and it makes this big fireball to slow down the people chasing them. And then Yanto says, go start the car, as he's getting up to a cliff. And they're like, what are you going to do? He's like, I think this will work.
Mm-hmm.
And he raises it as high as he possibly can over the edge of the cliff. And you can almost see him saying a prayer of, I'm pretty sure this is the right decision.
I hope this, yeah. Is he going to be mad or not?
Yeah. And then he just kind of drops it off the side of the cliff, gets out, runs to the car. He's like, we should go down to the bottom of the hill now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the things I love is when they get to the bottom of the hill and all three of them get out of the car and Captain Jack is there naked in cement dust with his handcuffs. Gwen takes her husband's jacket to cover him up instead of Yanto, who's got a big jacket on too, going to him.
Mm.
And Gwen is just kind of sort of trying to cover her eyes as Reese is just glaring at her.
Again, the interpersonal dynamics with this group is just... Because, I mean, Captain Jack and Gwen are the pair that officially make up Torchwood at this point.
Yeah.
Yanto is a member of Torchwood, but not at their level, and is more, again, the lover of Captain Jack. You've got Reese, you know, it's just...
Well, it's soon after this that they're saying, you know, here we are in a former warehouse of Torchwood 1 with no power, no real equipment to speak of. We're, what, the most wanted criminals in Britain at the moment. What are we supposed to do? And Gwen perks up. Well, you just said what we should do. And they're all going, what do you mean? She said, I was a police officer. I know what criminals do. I know how we get money and electricity. And she starts telling them how to pickpocket people and how to rob credit cards from people and how to steal computer cases. And the ensuing scenes after that are priceless.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. They take such a different approach to things with this series, which is part of what's so fun about it. And because they went with the miniseries format, it allowed them to actually spend a little bit more time on some of these things than if it had just been part of an episodic thing of, well, I know what to go do, cut to a pickpocketing scene, boom, 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 okay, next scene kind of a deal.
Well, and when Captain Jack and Yanto finally have a chance to kind of talk to each other after this and kind of make their peace with each other, Reese is in the background cooking dinner and, you know, Captain Jack and Yanto, they're now on happy terms with each other. They'd like a little privacy. So Captain Jack calls out, hey, Reese, do you think you could run out and get thus and so? Should take you, what, about 20 minutes? And Yanto says 30. So he says 30 minutes. And Reese says, but the beans are almost ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the look they give each other is like, but the beans are almost ready.
So close. Yeah.
Kind of a, the child does not understand the parents need privacy.
Mm-hmm.
What, Reese getting so upset when Captain Jack tries to tell Gwen she shouldn't go out in her condition. And Reese's like, and what condition would that be? What condition does he know about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Reese adds a lot to the show because as the spouse of Gwen and the outsider of Torchwood.
Yes.
That it a lot of times has to be in the thick of it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the training. He doesn't have the mindset. He's looking at it from a totally different perspective. And every once in a while, that really pays off for the team. Other times, yeah, not so much.
When he helps Gwen after Yanto has died, when he helps Gwen go and protect Yanto's sister, brother-in-law, niece, nephew, and the 19 other children that she has stashed in her house, stay safe. That may be Gwen and Reese's best section out of all of this. Just the two of them willing to fight to protect children they don't know.
Yeah.
Because they matter to Yanto.
Mm-hmm. There's an aspect of those two being the defining family unit for this Torchwood group and kind of having adopted the rest in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Even kind of after some of their deaths.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's fun. I really would have liked to have seen Martha Jones and Mickey as another couple in this and how that would have played out.
I think even if they had just had Mickey as part of the unit representation, because the unit was refusing to work with Torchwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the entire miniseries played out differently because Torchwood didn't have an in with unit.
Yeah.
So Torchwood was totally isolated.
I guess the question I would have is, would Martha and Mickey have been unit or would they have been Torchwood?
Honestly, I don't care which they are.
I think it matters to the story because if they're unit, that gives the connection between the two. If there's not, then you still have that separation.
Yeah. Well, see, I think of Martha as when I last saw her, so as being part of unit. And I think Captain Jack having someone he knows and trusts over at unit vice versa works well.
I'm trying to remember the last time we saw Martha.
She came and did two episodes.
Right, but I think after those two episodes was kind of the end of the Tenant run, or at least where we see...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if that's when Journey's End was, and we see her there, and introduced to Mickey, I think, at that point. versus the end of Tenet's run with him doing that final tour and seeing those two off and saving them in the distance.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I didn't think those two were through the unit, but just kind of independent alien fighters.
I assumed they were still with unit, but I didn't put a lot of thought into it. Yeah.
Either way, they're both good actors and would have been fun to have in there.
Yeah.
But I think having another married couple
yeah.
would have potentially changed up the dynamic a bit.
Yeah.
But given that Lois was kind of the stand-in for Martha, I think they would have probably been with unit on the you know, were with the government side until they realized the error of the ways and kind of break off.
I thought Lois did a great job. Like mm-hmm. I said, she was my favorite character that they brought in here. You know, she's on her first, second day of the job, trying to figure out what's what. And realizing, wait a second, he is supposed to work with Torchwood, and instead he's ordering the death of Torchwood, and he's saying whoever blew up the hub is probably a terrorist, but he doesn't know I know. He arranged for it to blow up.
Yeah, he's certainly playing politics, and yeah.
And I thought it was interesting when, after the Capaldi character requested the gun so he could kill himself and his family, the woman, Spears, Hastings, the woman that Lois had been reporting to, she went and visited Lois in the prison, whatever, and we find out later, happened to have the Torchwood contacts with her and asked for instructions on how to use them. And she wore them in to get the Prime Minister to go accidentally on the record saying, you know, aren't we just so lucky how all this happened?
Yeah, there's a certain fitting comeuppance to some of the politicians
yeah.
by basically having their own words kind of hang them out to dry.
Yeah. I never officially signed anything. I never put my face on this. I let the Americans claim they were in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where having the video, not just the words, helps.
Yeah.
Because seeing how they're delivered in that case, yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I wish had been different was with Captain Jack's grandson at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of his being brought in without knowing what was happening and what was going on, I wish Captain Jack had taken a moment to talk to him and say, I need you to do something impossibly difficult, and I don't think you'll survive. But if you do this, you will be the one person on Earth who saved billions.
I think if he had put it as a philosophical dilemma to the kid, this is the sort of situation somebody's up against, what should they do? Mm-hmm. And then have the kid, well, you do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of not being the answer Jack was really wanting, but yeah. needed.
I think
and then explain the situation.
Yeah. I think he should have given the kid a chance to be a party to...
To be heroic
yeah.
versus a victim.
Yeah. I think the mother still could have been just as upset with Jack as she was.
Mm-hmm.
Because no mother wants to see her son do that.
Yeah.
But I think the son, the grandson, Stephen, should have been given the chance to be heroic.
I think so, but I think that changes the end of the season a lot.
I think Jack still would have wanted to crucify himself for allowing his grandson to die and for putting that weight on his grandson's shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. For not finding a better solution.
Yeah.
Because I believe at the end of this, Gwen and Reese kind of go off to go have their kid. Gwen's given Jack his vortex manipulator.
Yeah.
And he just takes off into space and goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things they could have tweaked and done a little bit differently. I think the number of rewrites or the significance of the rewrites they had to do because of who they could and couldn't get.
Yeah.
May have precluded a little bit of that. Again, talks of budget cuts and just the negotiations they had to do to get the BBC to even to air this kind of thing. This was the last season under the BBC. They did a fourth season, I believe, with Stars, maybe?
Oh, interesting.
It was connected with the BBC, but it was a more North American production. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot more North American kind of actors and stuff involved. But this was, again, that turning point from episodic to serial, doing it with a 5-episode thing, and that kind of working pretty well, allowed them to do Miracle Day, which I believe was 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. Whether it was 10 one-hour episodes or 5 2-hour episodes, I don't remember.
Okay.
I'd have to go look.
Yeah. I liked this series a lot, but like I said, little things like if I'd better understood where the Capaldi character was coming from, mm-hmm. and why he was doing what he was doing.
Yeah, getting a little better character motivations on some of this would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that.
I think Lois Habib would be great as part of Torchwood. I thought they set her up great to come over there.
Mm-hmm.
And having Martha and Mickey, either as UNIT or Torchwood, again, I'd love.
Well, and that's part of what I love about the Doctor Who universe, particularly under Russell T. Davies, also a bit under Moffat, but I think a little less so, is with Russell T. Davies, there's so many characters that get out there that would just be fun to follow up on.
Mm.
You know, what happens with Martha, with Mickey, with a few of the others, the Doctor's daughter, Captain Jack, etc.
Yeah.
They've got more stories in them than we see.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think with Moffat, there are a couple of those characters, but he kind of finished off the stories for the Ponds.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel there was a whole lot left there. He's done fairly full exploration of River Song. And I don't really think there are all that many other side characters that showed up more than just for their one or two parter.
Yeah.
Because even with Clara, we got a very full story for her.
Yeah.
And Danny Pink and a few others, well, they just don't stick around.
Yeah.
But yeah, Torchwood I think is a lot of fun. This is one where blowing up the hub and stuff frees them from kind of geographical constraints. We get, like I said, one more from season from Stars. There has been talk of, are they going to do a fifth one at some point? The nice thing with BBC-type shows is it's not unusual or unheard of for them to be dormant for many years and then resurface. It just comes down to, are the parties involved interested and able to make something happen?
Yeah.
Because I certainly have gotten the impression from John Barrowman that doing more stuff with Captain Jack is something he'd be interested in.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. You liked it?
Yeah, a great deal.
So when you get a chance, you're going to watch the next one?
Yeah.
So anything else on this?
The only other thing that occurs to me is I did like when Gwen recorded the video about wondering why Captain Jack's doctor didn't show up. And kind of understanding that sometimes she wonders if he thinks Earth just isn't worth the bother at the moment. I mean, look at us. We're willing to throw away 10% of our children.
As I recall, there was questions either on the IMDb page or elsewhere with kind of, where was the doctor during all of this?
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting question. It's a valid question, but it's an equally invalid question.
We shouldn't always rely on the doctor.
I would like for them to do something like this. Imagine if it had played out and in the background through UNIT or somewhere else, there is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's involved and kind of pushing and prodding. Somebody who seems like that second level tech guy who's there to help out and push the story along, but not really a key player.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end have that basically, it's like, yeah, that was just the doctor from down the hall or whatever. What was his name? Well, he's just the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and have it be potentially, it was a future doctor.
Yeah.
And you kind of, well, where was the doctor at this point? Which doctor?
Yeah.
Tennant, Smith, Eccleston, you know, Capaldi, any of the earlier ones, a later one. You know, it's because the character is a time traveler, anchoring him in time and thinking he should have been here at this point, except, oh, wait, he couldn't be because he was over there.
Yeah.
Is he relevant?
Yeah. You're right.
And it's also a matter of, this is Torchwood, not Doctor Who.
Yes.
You know, it's a bigger question as to, you know, where is Martha? Where are some of these other people?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's nature of fan speculation.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice to kind of address too. Again, at least, hey, where was he at this? And, oh, wait, we've got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
We've got to be worthy of his investment in time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a good one too, because there have been a couple of times the doctor is seen as, or he's used as a crutch. Or a, we can't help ourselves, please save us.
Yes.
Which is a little unempowering for the Earthlings. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
No, I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.